your word and your promises, particularly as Ellie gives her testimony. I pray that your hand would be on her, that she would find a new confidence in what she has to share. And I just give the day to you, Lord, and ask you to be the Lord of it, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing together. We're going to sing Love Divine. And then I'll have a chat to you about baptism and what's going on. So what's it all about, this baptism thing? What's it all about? In my experience, there are a mixture of people that come to these occasions. There are those who are already Christians, and they get it, and there are those who aren't Christians, and they don't really. But actually, once we talk about it and do it, everybody gets a bit more. So it's worth talking about why and what's it about. And the first thing, I guess, is who was this guy Jesus, and what did he come to do? And in Matthew's gospel, and please feel free if you've got a Bible to check that I'm not making all this up. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 gives us a very succinct statement. Of course, it's a succinct statement that you could easily do a 1-hour Bible study on, but we won't do that today. But Matthew chapter 1, right, got open to the wrong page, and verse 21, says, and this is the prophecy that's made over Mary before Jesus is born. So she's been told she's going to have a son, and this verse says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus basically means Jehovah is salvation. For he will save his people from their sins. So the purpose of Jesus coming, and that's a whole Bible study in itself, but the purpose of Jesus coming is to save people from their sins. So what does that mean? Well, you see, one of the myths I'd quite like to get rid of from the start is that we don't come to baptism perfect. We don't come to baptism sinless. We don't come to baptism sort of higher up than those out there, able to look down our noses and claim a higher level of righteousness to anybody else. But we actually come to baptism recognizing the complete opposite. In Romans chapter 3 verse 9 onwards, if anybody wants to turn there, feel free. The Apostle Paul teaches about this, and he said, what then, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. So Ellie, who's being baptized today, is just as much under sin as anybody else. And the only difference is that she turns to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. We're not. My friend used to have a sticker in his car, and the sticker said, Christians aren't perfect, they're just forgiven. And I think that kind of sums it up for me, because if you read on here, it says, Paul, this is Paul saying, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, there is none righteous, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, he's not talking here just about pagan people out there. He's talking about the whole of the human race. And so when we come to baptism, we come to an acceptance of the fact that we can't save ourselves. We could try as hard as we like, for as long as we like, we would never be able to save ourselves. So we then have to place our trust in someone else to save us. Or we have to accept the fact that we ain't getting saved. And when you read what Jesus had to say about that prospect, I strongly advise against it, because it really isn't a way that you'd like to go if you understand it. So we place our trust in someone else to change us, someone else to change our behavior, someone else to finally save us. In 1 Corinthians 15, I won't bother to turn there, but it's in verse 53, it says, "This corruptible will one day put on incorruptible. There is some point in the future when I will be perfected, and so will anyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ." And that, of course, is Ellie's trust too. That she places her trust in him, not to be perfect now, but knowing she has a perfect destiny. And the road between then and now will be full of change. And those of us who know Ellie a bit have already seen vast change. I said a few weeks ago in church how excited I was about this baptism, because I knew her the way she was, and I can see how far she's come. But according to this, she's still got a long way to go, because she would admit that she's not yet perfect, and the destiny is perfection. So where does that leave us? What is baptism? There's nothing special about the water. It's not holy water. It's unlikely, although it has been known, but it's unlikely that there will be flashings of lightning and loud sounding gongs and bells and stuff like that. It's a very, very straightforward event where somebody gets dunked. And that might be a sort of vernacular way to describe it, but that's it. Now, let's stay in the book of Romans and go to chapter 6 and see what Paul said about it. And he says a very similar thing in the book of Colossians chapter 2. He says, "What should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ..." Sorry, I'll read that again. "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." So, effectively what this is, it's a symbolic burial service. You know, there is another scripture in the New Testament that describes us as, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Now, I speak for myself here. My new creation often has big tussles with my old self. And there's this battle that goes on. Mercifully, I've read the book, and God wins in the end. But the point of this is, the baptism recognizes that God has a plan which includes burying, never to rise again, the old self, to make me a new creation. Or as we said from 1 Corinthians 15, that this corruptible will put on incorruption. In other words, it will be perfected. And it's an emblem of that. And what it says when Ellie's baptized is that she has trusted Christ for that. She has said, "Jesus, I trust you for my salvation." I suspect, and we'll hear from Ellie in a bit, but I suspect she'll be the first to admit that she's a long way yet from perfection. But she's on the road to it, and the destiny is absolutely assured, as long as she walks with him. And like all of us, she's going to blow it. You know, I'm aware, for example, there is no such thing, this is just my interpretation of the scripture, there are lots and lots of Christians out there, there are some who I really admire, but in God's standard and in God's economy, there's no such thing as a good Christian. We're all bad Christians. But we all have a destiny that's perfect. And actually, the more imperfect we think we are, or the more imperfect we realize we are, the more we crave that destiny of perfection that is assured. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15 that when that happens, it'll take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What it means, if you read the Greek, it means in an atom of time. The same phrase is used to describe the buzz of a gnat. My voice is doing a good impression of the buzz of a gnat. But it's an imperceptibly small amount of time. When God finally does this, it'll be done. And suddenly we will be perfected. But we have a walk to walk, and we've just sung about it, haven't we? We're going to be changed from glory into glory over time, but there will come that day when he raises us incorruptible. And praise God for that. So baptism is a burial service. All right? When Ellie is buried in the pool of baptism, that symbolizes the fact that her old self is now buried. And God is very good. We were talking about this in church last Sunday. The fact that God writes things in the past tense that we have yet to see. With his great foresight, he sees us perfected in the past tense. He sees us as sons of Abraham in the past tense. He's already done the work. We just haven't walked into it yet. So this burial service, Ellie's old self is buried symbolically. And when she comes up out of those waters of baptism, the new Ellie is resurrected symbolically. And she's doing that publicly to testify to the fact that she has put her faith in Jesus Christ to bring her to the perfection of that resurrection life that she is being raised to. And after this day, all her Christian brothers and sisters should encourage her and encourage her and encourage her, because she will come under attack. Unfortunately, some of that attack will even come from the body of Christ. And that is a shame. That is a shame, but it's true. But all those of us who remain close to Ellie should be encouraging her, uplifting her, and reminding her that God has a plan for her that is completed with perfection. And I hope that's kind of made baptism clear. So we're going to sing the song, What Can Wash Away My Sin. And then Ellie's going to give her testimony before her baptism.
Okay, please stand and we'll sing this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Of course, Ray hasn't had any opportunity to explain any more about that, but it's a deep theological truth. The only reason that we can be saved is through the death of Christ, who was perfect, and therefore his blood was perfect, and is satisfactory to save us from our sins. And that's what we're going to sing about now. So.
Well, then I've had a rough month this month, so I wrote my testimony this morning, but at least it's fresh in my mind. And I'm not very good on stage either, so I'm a little bit nervous. Thank you, firstly, for all being here to share this moment with me, and I'm just going to give you like a sort of change in my life and what's happened so far. So prior to my salvation, I did completely reject God. My life was a mess and I was lost. I had various addictions and my daily walk was in sin. I was lost and I was wandering blind. When I was 22, I was in a very dark place and I started to search for the truth. I watched the Daniel Project, directed by Daniel Menelaus, which is good for anyone that's sort of searching. And I started to have a change of heart and mind. It wasn't long before I was down on my knees and begging for the Lord's forgiveness and asking him to take control of my life. But being saved and changing is a very long and slow process, and it has been for me. It is a forever and ongoing process, and it's very slow, and the Lord is changing me into the person he wants me to be, but it's not going to happen overnight. Since being saved, I have received a continuous and growing strong network of Christians around me to help me and support me, and I'd like to thank you all. I would like to thank my husband for putting up with me for the last 4 years, and my parents, my mum, Steph and Wayne, and all my family, and all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I would like to thank Jenny, Mike, and Jenny Howe, and Ray and his wife for your support and prayers over the years. And I'd like to thank my new friends, John, Joe, Becca and Mel, for taking me on as part of your family in Christ. Thank you to everyone else who's been here today and for your support and prayers. The Lord has blessed me and provided me with a loving husband and a secure and godly family, a new mind and a new heart, and an eternal life, giving him praise and glory in the kingdom of heaven in my future. My new life in Christ will be to serve the Lord. I must and will put my full trust in and faith in him and leave all worldly lusts and desires behind me. The Lord tells us in Luke 9:62 that the cost of discipleship is to leave everything behind. He says, "No one having put his hand into the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." In Matthew 4, Simon Peter and Andrew immediately dropped their fishing nets and followed Jesus when he asked them to. They did it. I believe that this is what I must do for him. I've just got a few verses and that I would like to share, which have spoken and helped me over time. Ephesians 1 shows me that I have redemption in Christ. He has chosen me and he's adopted me. By his grace, he has accepted me. I have redemption through his blood. My sins are forgiven according to the riches of his grace. Excuse me. In him, I have also gained an inheritance. In Jesus I have trusted and I have heard the word of truth, and having believed, I am now sealed with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3 verse 26-29 it reads, which I've just flicking through my Bible this morning. Excuse me. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are, and you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Therefore, I am here to be baptized today by my faith. I am dead to my former self and now born again through Christ Jesus. I no longer live for myself, but as a bondservant to my Lord, of my Saviour and my first love. Thank you again for all your hard work today and coming here to share this precious moment with me.
Thank you, Ellie. You know, something that Phil said earlier, and I didn't include it in the short study that I did, but Ellie's and all of our forgiveness comes only because Jesus Christ took upon himself the penalty for our sins. And everything she said was right. You know, he paid the price. The penalty that should be paid by me for my sin has been paid by him. And so the righteousness that we have is imputed, not deserved. There's none of us deserve it, but he has kindly imputed it to us. And our sin was imputed to him. So praise God, and thank you for that testimony. It was really moving, and I'll shut up and let's sing. And we're going to sing Be Still.
Yeah, I think this is a good time for anyone who has, any believers who have been baptized in the past. I think we can all relate to the emotion involved as the realization of the depth of Jesus' sacrifice for us personally, and just spend a little time reflecting on that as we sing this this slow song, Be Still.
Do take your seats. We're going to baptise Ellie, and once we've baptised her, if anybody wants to pray for her, they should feel free to do so. So come on, Ellie, let's do it. Turn from all of your former life in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I do.
And you renounce everything in that former life.
I do.
And do you trust him for your eternal salvation?
I trust him.
Hallelujah. We baptize you based on your confession. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, I just pray for Ellie right now that you would honour this decision that she's made. Father, you would keep her on a straight path. That, Father, whatever the enemy throws at her to distract her, you would be the biggest distraction, and that you would take her your way every time. Father, that you would cause her to be an even better wife than she is. That she would be a tower of strength to her children. That, Lord, she will be a woman after your word and a woman after your heart. Father, we ask you to do a great, great work in her heart, that she will magnify your name and glorify you with her walk as a Christian, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And if anybody else would like to pray, then now's your moment.
Oh, Father, I just pray for you right now, Lord, that you will. That you'll form her into your person, the one you loved even before she was born. Lord, she's been through so much, and to think of this day was just a mere thought years ago, but to see her now in Christ, in you, Lord, with her future mapped out with her Lord and her Saviour. Lord, this is a wonderful day. There will be rejoicing in heaven this day. And Lord, I just thank you for everything you've done in Ellie's life and all that you will undertake. Lord, build her, protect her, and keep her safe. And let her be that woman you have in your heart for her to be, Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
I thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to rejoice in you. You are a miracle-working God. supernatural, miracle-working God. You do the things, Lord, which we feel are impossible. Your word says nothing is impossible for you. I'm amazed, Lord. I'm amazed. Every time I see someone go through the waters of baptism, I'm amazed at how miraculous that change of life is. And convinced, Lord, that only you, God, could have done this. Mm-hmm. I just want to praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus, for your love that took you to the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you love each one of us so much. And you change us, Lord. You don't leave us the way we are. You change us. Thank you, Jesus.
I'd like to give Ellie this verse in Philippians. It says, you began a good work in you, will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we want to commit Ellie to you now. Lord, may this be a wonderful beginning. Looking forward to that glorious end, meeting the Lord face to face.
All have sinned and fall short of the standard of God. Oh Lord, I pray that anyone here this afternoon that don't know you as Lord and Savior might be troubled over this fact, Lord, and make steps to put it right. We thank you, you died for the sins of all people. And yet there are so many that just despise you today. Thank you for our heavenly Lord and the way that she's come forward and for the prayers that have been said. I also say amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for Ellie and Lord, her life. And Heavenly Father, you know the end from the beginning. And Lord, you looked upon Ellie with such love and faithfulness as you do with each one of us, Lord. And we thank you so much for this day that Ellie's taken the step of baptism, Lord, to live for you. Pray that you will bless her in every aspect of her life from this day forth. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I'd just like to thank you for my daughter, who's now my sister in Christ. I never thought for one moment when she was younger that we'd be in this place. Lord, the joy of knowing that she is saved is beyond compare. I just thank you for saving her, Lord. I thank you for prospering her in your word, and I thank you for quickening her by your spirit. Lord, I pray that her walk from now on will be solely designed for you, Lord, and yearned for you, Lord. I just pray that she will be an inspiration to her children, and that she will be like me and have that feeling of joy to know that they are saved. Mm-hmm. And I just pray that you give her wisdom and knowledge and a heart that pants after you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm just going to bring Ellie out of the water here because I think she's getting a bit cold. Please do continue to pray. And come and give her a sort of hug. Anybody else got any more prayers to say for Ellie?
Well, we'll proceed with the next song then, I think. So we're going to sing now In Christ Alone.
His hand till he returns or calls me home.
do take your seats a moment. Ellie, I quite understand if you want to go and get warm and dry. It's such a privilege to be part of an occasion when someone stands and says in front of all their peers, I'm for Christ. I realised that I was on a wrong track and Christ is the right track and he's my track from now on and I put my trust in him. It's a privilege to be here to witness that. And it speaks to all of us. You see, the thing is, and I always think this is actually as plain as the nose on your face. People debate and discuss theology and religion and all sorts of things. But when it really comes down to it, if any of you in the room are not Christians, you don't know Christ, I would put this very simple thing to you, which you're free to explore. Either Jesus was who he said he was, or he wasn't. And there are many who debate, well, he was a good chap, he was a nice man and all of that, did good things. But actually, he doesn't give us that latitude. He was either the Son of God, who he claimed to be, or he was a liar, or he was deluded. So what you are free to do is to look at God's word and talk to people like the Christians in this room and say, why do you believe? What's the evidence for your belief? You see, I think the big mistake people make is that they think faith is a blind force. Oh, I just believe it because I fancy believing it. If that's the faith you have, you may as well abandon it. It will serve you not well. But if you think about it, what could God have done to show that Jesus, when he came, was his Messiah that he sent? What could he have done? Well, one of the things he could have done was he could have told the whole earth about it long before it ever happened. Because only God is big enough to sit out time, outside time and predict these things. So I put it to you that you can explore this. You can look at the scripture for yourself and you can say, well, did God give us absolutely no reason to reject Jesus when he came? And you'll find that that's true. You'll find that over thousands of years, he told us things that would be true of Jesus when he came, all of which, not some of which, all of which proved to be precisely true. And then you can look at what happened on the day of crucifixion. Don't worry about her, Thomas. She's suffer little children to come unto me. But you can look at what happened on the day of crucifixion. And lots of things, over 30 different things happened on that day that were very, very precisely predicted and that were also totally supernatural. Just one is that it went dark for 3 hours in the middle of the day. There were earthquakes. The day of resurrection, other dead people got up from their graves and walked around and were seen speaking to people. And people gave testimony of the fact that they'd had conversations with these people. Now, these are things that you can check out. You can look at the evidence and you can base your faith on the evidence, assuming you take the time to look. The problem is, many don't take the time to look. So I leave you with this thought before we sing our final song, and that is, if we're wrong, you've got nothing to lose by having a look. If we're right, this is an eternal destiny issue, and you are making a choice as to whether you spend eternity with him or whether you spend eternity estranged from him in hell and suffering his wrath. You see, if I was God and I had given my only son to pay the price for your sins, I would expect at least that you would recognize that fact and take some account of it and put your trust in that. And if you rejected my son, I would then say, well, if you reject my son, then you reject me. So it's very simple. You accept Christ or you reject him, but you can check him out. He didn't give us no evidence. He actually gave us so much to base our faith upon. So I would exhort you, do come and have a talk, or talk with the other Christians who you might have come with, or you may know. Talk to Ellie. She'll, at the moment, she's on fire. She'll certainly give you a good account of what the Lord Jesus Christ is about. But don't go without checking him out. And give it some time. It's an eternal thing. So don't be afraid to study for a couple of months, after which you'll come out with a pretty good idea of whether acceptance or rejection is the best way to go. So let's pray to finish, and we'll sing a final song. Father, I do thank you for the privilege of sharing in today and sharing this special time when Ellie's made this commitment to you. I do thank you that you allow us to witness these things, and that what we've just witnessed with her has been going on for thousands of years, where a group of people a couple of thousand years ago changed the world at the time because they turned to you. And I suspect that as you work on her, she will change her world around her. And that she will have a godly effect on her children and on her husband and on her wider family. And that they will see as a testimony of you at work in her life, they will see her grow and change and grow more and change more and change from glory into glory as we've just seen. And we look forward to the coming testimony of that change. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time of fellowship we've had. I pray that you would touch the hearts of any that don't know you and at least get them to be curious. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a final song to sing.
Yes, we're going to stand and sing about the peace we can enjoy when we put our trust in Christ, the peace in our hearts, just knowing that we have that salvation and that destiny in eternity that Ray's talked about. I'm going to sing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way," or "It is well with my soul." And I'm sure many of us can sing that from the heart. So please stand and sing.
Thank you so much for coming. It's been an absolute joy to be with you. I hope you'll stay for some refreshments. Liz will be gutted if you don't, because she's spent a lot of time preparing it. Not wasn't just Liz, but I saw Liz coming in under burden of big plates. But so there's been various ladies in the fellowship have prepared food for us to have with some coffee. So do stay, do have a chat. I'm going to go and get dry and just enjoy the next half hour or so with us. God bless you. Thank you.
Can I just say something quickly? For those of you that don't know, this isn't our church hall. We've borrowed it for the afternoon. So very big thanks to New Life Church. If anything does resonate with any of you and you live locally, we actually meet about down the road in Highcliffe at Greystones Hall. If you are interested, just ask any of us and we'll let you know where that is. And if you aren't local, we do have a website with all the teachings on, if that interest you, but have a word with us and we'll give you the details. Thank you.